I asked the bishop, you want me to preach, teach? He said, just talk. That's what I'm going to do. But I have something to share with you. I told Brother Pugh, I said, we have just celebrated 100 years of the baptism of the Holy Ghost at Azusa Street, and we are now at another crossing over. We are at a new place that we must go from this minister's conference and get gutsy. Now, I'm not being offensive, please. You ain't got to pay me. I'm worth millions. Ask all the people in my church that don't tithe. He don't need no more. Amen. And I won't just be without being offensive. I was over there last night when everything was shake, rattle, and roll, and we were slamming and jamming, and Brother Wolf and I were over there in the Jericho corner doing the best we could while people danced on my shoes and kicked me in the leg, and I missed a few punches. Just kind of bodies in contortion and twisting and carrying on and talking in tongues like a Chinese laundry. But I noticed the deaf stayed deaf. Excuse me. I'm reading in your hearing two portions of Scripture. The book of Hebrews, chapter 6. Boy, I killed that thing so fast. You were so good until I told you the truth. Well, we just shouting and jamming and throwing down. Yeah, but she still can't hear. Well, we're not here for her, but the guy just talked about filling somebody else's dream. And James said, what good is it if they come among you and you say, the Lord bless you, and you give them not those things which are needful for life, how abideth the love of God in you? Boy, look how quiet it just got. See, we are professionals at declaration. We are second graders at demonstration. Well, I'm going to teach you how to do it. Because I'm not afraid of your opinion. I've been damned and condemned to beat up for 30 plus years in this movement. Guess what? I'm still here. I don't mind being misunderstood. Don't bother me one bit. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost. Now watch this. And have tasted the good word of God, here it is, and the powers of the world to come. Now, when I prayed and asked God for direction, the Lord just dealt with me and said, well, they call this conference Touching the Future. Said, go you talk to them and tell them about tasting the future. Lord, bless the ministry and help me to be as kind as I can be in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Tasting the power of the world to come. I brought in my left hand here a stack. I showed it to Brother Pugh a minute ago. I've been preaching 35 years. In 32 and a half years, I've got two or three headaches healed and maybe one bad leg. In the last 2.5 years, this is all the folks that's been healed. X-rays, cancer reports, crutches, hearing aids, deaf people. Have any more gifts than I had 30 years ago, but I've become convinced it is the will of God for people to experience another world. Now, you holy rollers, you believe God wants to touch people with the Holy Ghost, but you need to start believing God wants to touch people physically, emotionally, and not just spiritually. If you believe people get the Holy Ghost talking in tongues, that's the greatest miracle anybody could ever have, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Well, if you believe for the greatest, why can't you believe for less? Just bear with me. Just bear with me. I've waited on you for 4 hours. Jesus came as heaven's invasion team. Now, I want to tell you something. How little God thinks of the devil. He sent a one-man posse in the body of a naked kid and said, he'll take care of you. You didn't hear me. The mic. No, you didn't get it. God got ready to invade the kingdom of Satan with the kingdom of God and said, one naked kid will take care of this. In fact, that baby's so powerful, I defy any devil in hell to kill it. And Herod tried, and this one tried, and that one tried, and Jesus said, no man takes my life from me. I've got power to lay it down, and I got power to pick it up. You're not hear me yet, and that power is inside your body right now. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Just stay with me. You can be seated. Just stay with me. You understand something? I heard one of the preachers the other night make mention of it. Said, well, you know, we're just trying to do what Jesus, the Father's business. I sat over there and I didn't mean to be unkind. I said, too bad we don't know what the Father's business is. And Brother Davis preached so wonderfully last night, and he used that thing about those two bull rams crashing heads and the sound of an explosion and a conflict. And I said, boy, they need to buy my book, Power Encounter. Because that's all Jesus did when he showed up. He came to do the Father's business. And he did the Father's business by undoing the devil's works. And if you're not undoing the devil's works, you're just religious. You're just a church junkie hiding behind Pentecostal doctrine. It's time for the Pentecostal movement to stop preaching and teaching a theology that allows no demonstration. Let God arise. There is enemies be scattered. Let the Holy Ghost begin to take hold of everything that's anti-God. You be seated. I forgot to thank you, Bishop. Thank you for inviting me. I realize I wasn't on the program, but thank you. I'd rather be a substitute here than be present someplace else. This is a great place to be. It really is. It's an exciting place. You got to hear me, see, because I'm going to mess with you now. Because the biggest damnable devil that's dealing with the Pentecostals ain't TV and video and putt-putt golf and cufflinks and colored shirts and whether we're going to watch video or ain't. What we're afraid of is, who, me? See, we believe God's got five people that can read your zip code and the rest of us are stuck. And if I don't have these gifts of the Spirit, I can't do nothing. You mean God was that dumb that he made a mistake when he gave you his Spirit? Do you understand what you have with the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Watch this. You are pregnant with God's DNA. You didn't hear me. You got God.
God's nature inside of you. And His nature is fix everything that's broke. Save everything that's lost. Help everything that's messed up. Deliver everything that's dysfunctional. He went around healing all that were oppressed of the devil because God was with him. Too bad God's not with you.
You can sit down. You can sit down. I didn't mean to wake everybody up. You got to get it. You know, when you got up this morning, I tell our church family in Gainesville all the time, and this isn't vanity. Please, Brother Davis, it's not ego. It's not vanity. I wake up in the morning. I got up this morning, brushed that teeth, combed that hair, put on my clothes, looked in the mirror and said, ow! Hell! You're in trouble. I'm up!
Looking in the mirror and say, God lives in that man. God lives in that woman. And wherever I go, God goes. And wherever God goes, hell's got to bow its knee. Because the kingdom of God is greater than the kingdom of the devil.
Woo! You sit down. I'm not really trying to get your response. I'm trying to shake your cage. Jesus came to take revenge and vengeance towards man's real enemy, Satan, and undo his works. 1 John 3:8, for this purpose the Son of Man was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. That's the Father's business. Destroy the works of the devil. Not build a church. Destroy the works of the devil. In destroying the works of the devil, he's building a church. But that's not the issue. Everywhere you go, you need to be a threat to hell. Every time you see somebody hurting or sick, you need to say, would you mind if I pray for you? No, you're not. The microphone's not, must not be on. You're not getting it yet. I'll give you $1,000 because I got it. If you can show me one scripture where any person in the four Gospels ever asked Jesus to heal him and he said no. Oh, it's not enough? I'll give you $2,000. I'll give you $5,000. Come on, you little wussified Pentecostals. Shake and boogaloo and carry it on. And couldn't cast out a devil if he was half dead with his arm behind his back. But Jesus, according to Luke, went into the synagogue and there was a man with an unclean spirit. Here's how you can tell if you got a bad spirit. You don't want the preacher around you. Because the minute Jesus walked in, that devil possessed person jumped out and said, leave us alone. Well, wait a minute. A few days ago in the wilderness, you wanted to do battle. What's the deal? Yeah, but I beat you in the wilderness. And if I beat you in the wilderness, I can beat you in the church house. I can beat you at my job. I can beat you at the school. You got to believe that hell is afraid of you if you are convinced that you're more powerful than he is. Excuse me, Bishop. Just stay with me. Just a second. Going about doing the Father's business. What was the Father's business? Introducing the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? The word kingdom is the Greek word, basileia. Basileia is where we get the hyphenated word, king hyphen dom. It literally means the domain or dominion of a king. The rulership of a king. So what happens is, Jesus is not only the king, he is the manifester of the kingdom. So everywhere he goes, his kingdom clashes with an inferior kingdom. Whoever's the baddest dude in town wins. No, you're not getting it yet. Listen, Moses, oh God, I'm flipping. Moses could not bring Israel out of bondage because Moses talked to a burning bush. Pentecostals.
just went in to put on the biggest jailbreak recorded in human history. 3 million people in one night. But he didn't walk up to Pharaoh and say, I've had a spiritual experience. I've been talking to a burning bush. Now will you let him go? Harris says, I don't care if you're talking to the sun, moon, the stars, or a bunch of chocolate wafers. I'm not letting nobody go unless you make me. Moses said, I can do that. And for the next few days, they have a power encounter. Moses versus the magicians. Sorcery and deception and supernatural power versus supernatural power of truth. After the fourth miracle, then the magician said, oh, this is the real deal. This is the finger of God. We can't do nothing. And God said, oh, I'm not finished now. You want to get ready to rumble? I'm fixing to get ready to rumble. And here come number 5 and number 6 and number 7 and 8 and 9. And by the time God got finished, he said, go on out of here. You ain't going to bring the lost out of sin just because you preach Acts 2:38. They need a manifestation of the baptism of the Holy Ghost with signs and wonders and miracles and not just talk.
You sit down. Sit down. I want you to read something for me, Doc. Would you get me the Gospel of John? Would you get me verse 25 of chapter 10, if you don't mind, just give him a break. He's old, he's slow. Just 10:25. Just read for me.
And Jesus answered them.
Now wait a minute. This is the banner we're fixing to hang up over your church this week.
Okay.
And over all these holy rollers that... We want these banners in all your churches. Hey, Melbourne, get one of these banners up there, you wussified dude. You can talk in tongues and shout and carry on, fine. But hell's not afraid of you yet. We need one of these banners. What's Jesus' banner? Read 10:25.
I told you, and you believe not.
Yeah.
The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me.
Uh-huh.
But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you,
yeah,
my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me.
Read verse 25.
Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not.
Come on.
The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Jesus turns around and says, here's how you can tell if I'm from God.
Uh-huh.
Huh. If I do the works of God. Never mind this word stuff. That's just church. If I just give you words and I don't give you power, all I'm doing is giving you good advice. I'm not giving you good news. Good news delivers people. Now go to verse 37. Here's your banner. Get up, Melbourne, get over here now.
If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not.
Stop. Let's leave this conference with that banner in our hearts and our church. If we don't do the works of God, go to another church. Jesus gave people a right to disbelieve him. He said, if I'm not doing the works of God, don't believe me. But if I'm doing the works of God, though you don't believe me, believe the works that you might believe me. You see how, we got 13 people clapping their hands, but the rest of you are sitting here. Are you doing the works of God? Are you demonstrating signs and wonders and miracles? Are you getting the sick healed and the drug addict free? Are you helping people? Oh, I know we believe in the Holy Ghost, but there's something besides the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Sit down. I'm getting as fast as I can, going as fast as I can. You see, here's our problem. Jesus said, my works that I do, healing the sick, casting out devils, cleansing lepers, raising the dead, they are my credentials. So I'm asking you, what's yours?
Well, I believe in Acts 2:38. Isn't that neat? I'm chewing, I don't dip. I don't go swimming with bow-legged women. Yeah, I don't go to movies. And I don't cut my hair. And that's great.
Listen, you need a positive and a negative to even start a Volkswagen. Well, I want to ask you right now, to your kisser, is hell afraid of you? If not, why not? The mic's not on? Let me try it again. You see, everywhere Jesus went, it was conflict. It was collision. It was a power encounter. It was the clash of one kingdom with another kingdom. The superior kingdom wins. Jesus never left people the way he found them. We cannot leave people the way we find them. They need a demonstration of the power of God. Now, I'm not trying to cause you trouble, Rev. I'm on a mandate. I'm on a mandate. I'm being sacrificed by God again to this whole movement to try to get you past talking in tongues. Would you read a scripture for me? Matthew 4:23. I'm going to get a mess started here right now. I really am. You see, God is calling this church to repent. Now, we preach a lot of repentance, and I don't want to hurt your feelings, but we only repent enough to be forgiven. We have not repented enough to see the kingdom. You see, faith is trust and confidence in the invisible world. Unbelief is trust and faith in the visible world. So wherever your anchor is, that's where your outcome comes from. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. That he's what? That he's God, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So you've got to believe that another world's got every answer you have need of. I'm struggling. I'm so sorry. I'm just struggling. If you don't remember anything, I'm talking about, you know, you say touch the future. I'll say taste the future. Watch this. When Jesus showed up, he brought the future with him. Now, he said he brought the future with him. Why? Because in the future, there ain't no sickness. There ain't no devil possession. There aren't any lost folks. He brought the future into the present to overcome your yesterday and give you a tomorrow. Having tasted of the powers of the world to come. When you get the Holy Ghost, you just tasted the future. Yeah, you hear me? You tasted tomorrow when you talked in tongues today. Now here's our problem. We only get a measure of tomorrow. Isn't it funny that Paul wrote in Ephesians 1:13-14, stay right where you are, I'm coming. And he said 1:13-14, he said, and you have received the spirit of promise, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, he called it, watch, which is the earnest of your inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. So watch, you're willing to accept the earnest. Now the earnest is simply New York talk, 10% down and the rest at closing. You receive the earnest of your inheritance. You didn't get all of the fullness of God and the fullness of the Holy Ghost that you're going to have when you get a new body, but you've got enough for this body right now. But your inheritance is more than your spirit being reborn. In your inheritance, you get a new body. Why don't you push for getting the earnest of your inheritance in your body when you get sick? You know, Reverend, listen to me. I'll talk to you. They're not hearing me. I'll talk to you. Watch. You and I are living in between two events. When Jesus was incarnated, that was the inauguration of the kingdom.
That's right.
When he comes back and the millennial reign is over, that'll be the completion of the kingdom.
Right.
We're stuck in the middle.
Yep.
So we're living in the presence of two situations, the arrival and the conclusion.
Yep.
that we're living for the conclusion. That's fine. But while we live for the conclusion, we ought to draw more on the resources that God has for us so that we can live better lives than we're living. Okay, just stay with me. Read. What did I tell you to read? Whatever I told you, it was good.
And Jesus went about all Galilee.
Yeah.
Teaching in their synagogues.
Yeah.
And preaching the gospel of
the
kingdom.
Okay, wait, there's Billy Davis. He's the baptized brain in Pentecost. Okay, got more degrees than a thermometer. I want an answer. You ready? What gospel did Jesus preach?
Yeah.
Don't be dumb enough to say Acts 2:38. I won't even insult you. I'll give you the answer so you won't look bad. The Bible says, did you read from the Bible or are you in a comic
book? The Bible. No, let's
try it again. He went about the villages preaching what?
The gospel of the kingdom.
What gospel? Not the death, burial, and resurrection. There wasn't any.
Nope.
Well, you should see all the eyes looking over at you. Wow, Bill. He spoke at a university 5 times. He's got the answer. Brother Pugh, you've been in this a long time. What gospel did Jesus preach? Not Calvary, there wasn't any. Not the resurrection, there wasn't any. Not the Holy Ghost talking in tongues, there wasn't any Pentecost yet. What gospel did Jesus preach? Boy, see, I can hear a rat eating ice right now. I'm not a hypocrite. I know where I'm going. I look stupid. I ain't stupid. I know exactly where I'm going. Said he went around preaching the gospel. The word gospel is the good news. The good news of the kingdom of God.
That's right.
Read on.
And healing all manner of...
What part of all are you struggling with?
That's right. You better believe
it. Is that too deep for you? Mm. He went about healing all sickness. Why? Because sickness ain't allowed in his kingdom. There is no cancer in his kingdom. There is no diabetes in his kingdom. There are no deaf people in his kingdom. You've got the kingdom of God inside you through the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You need to demand that kingdom be released from your spirit, through your soul, into your body. If you can get the kingdom to touch your body, cancer will vanish, tumors will disappear, growths will fall off, healings will take place. Sit down. You're doing good. Good. He went about preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing all manner of sickness and disease. Watch.
That's right.
Yeah.
And his fame went throughout all Syria.
Okay, now just step over 3 chapters, 4 chapters, go to about 9:35. Let me not bore you with brilliance. The kingdom. You got to understand. Here's Jesus. He's the embodiment of the kingdom. He's the express. See, we always make this big thing in Pentecost. Well, he was the Word of God made flesh. That's all we know. He was the Word, the Logos made flesh. There's a second part to that. Yes. And the Word was made flesh. We understand that, John 1:14. But you guys, the second part of this is that what we've missed. He is the Word of God made flesh and the will of God expressed. No, you didn't hear me. See, Jesus said in John, I came down not to do my will, but the will of him that sent me. Watch. The Son can of himself do nothing. That lets you off the hook. You're saved, Myers. If the fullness of the Godhead would go on record and say, oh, by the way, I couldn't heal a headache on a dead turtle. I couldn't cast out a devil. The Son can of himself do nothing. Uh-oh, here we go. But what I see the Father do, I do. And what I hear the Father say, I say. Now you're back in trouble. You see, he didn't heal everybody on the earth. He only healed one guy at the pool of Bethesda. But he did heal everybody that asked for him. Why? Because he's just like this. The man is anointed with the power of another world. And the other world says, Bethesda, 6 blocks, turn right. There's a guy with a blue suit on. Raise him up. And he picks him up and walks by everybody else.
Right.
Why? Because the Son cannot, you're not getting it. The Son can of himself do nothing. Watch. But my daddy inside me, he can do it all.
That's right.
Too bad you don't have the daddy in you. Just think what would happen if some of you guys who would stop long enough to find out if you'd have got the Father in you. Because Jesus said, think not that I do the works, but my Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. It's not our vessel that's got to get anybody healed. It's the contents of our vessel that does signs and wonders and miracles. We need to learn how to release and express the Holy Ghost inside of us to help people. Are you hearing me? I'm real nervous right now. Crowds don't make me nervous. People who don't believe me make me nervous. And I can see it right in your face now. You think, I'm going to lay my hands on the sick. Suppose they don't get better. Suppose they do.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Let them go to hell and die because you're not sure whether the outcome is right, so you ain't going to try. Well, I'll deal that hypocritical devil a death blow right now. Right now. Anybody in this church besides yours truly ever prayed for somebody to get the Holy Ghost and you laid hands on them? Put your hands up. Put your hands down. And those of us that we pray for to get the Holy Ghost, how many of us, when we pray for them, they didn't get the Holy Ghost? Put your hands down. Now, don't be dumb enough to have the gall to tell me in front of hundreds of witnesses that you were stupid enough after it didn't work that you went and prayed for somebody else. Pardon me, was there something I said? Did you get it? You go to pray for this guy, he don't get the Holy Ghost. You know what you do? Next. Why? Because you know you couldn't give either one of them the Holy Ghost, but you are called by God to create faith and pray for people and communicate. That's the same thing you do when you pray for the sick. If they don't get healed, pray again. Touch the next person. Pray over the next person. Because you couldn't heal anybody if you had to. Sit down. Listen to me. I don't do a lot of secular reading and stuff. I'm tunnel vision. But my life changed 2.5 years ago when Patty Arnold gave me a $10 book for Christmas. Her and the family was in there opening all that dumb present stuff. I'm a Scrooge. I don't care about none of that junk. I just drinking a cup of hot tea. I just, you know, go ahead. Fine. Just eat. She gave me this book, The 100 Greatest Sayings in the World. And I'm reading this book and drinking my cup of tea. I'm in my pajamas and my robe and I'm just sitting there in the recliner. And all of a sudden, I believe the Holy Ghost can talk to you. He can talk to you outside of church service. He said, one of the earmarks of the last day's church is my sheep know my voice. It's tragic. We've raised a generation that knows the word, but not the voice. We got Bible quizzers that got trophies that couldn't cast the devil out of nobody. I've got 465 verses memorized. You want to see my hand on the buzzer? Yeah, I'd like to have your hand on that buzzer. Let's pray for that person. Oh, no, I'm over here quoting scripture. I said, well, you're late because hell can quote a lot more than you. And he's still a devil. Oh, boy. Am I in a mess now? So I'm reading the book. And the Lord talks to me. And it's a guy who plays hockey. Never seen him, but I know his name. Wayne Gretzky. And Wayne Gretzky's got a statement in that book that changed my life 2.5 years ago. Here's what he says. I noticed in my life, I always miss 100% of the shots I'm afraid to take. And when I sat there, it was like the Holy Ghost went, slap. And I read it again. I noticed I always miss 100% of the shots I'm afraid to take. And he said, and that's you, Jeffrey. I noticed that 100% of the people don't get healed because you're afraid to pray for them. And I noticed 100% of the people don't get the Holy Ghost because you're afraid to pray for them. And 100% of the people don't get taught a Bible study because you're afraid to pray for them. What do you got to lose? Why don't you get out there and do what I told you? These signs shall follow them that believe. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. The recovery is not our business. The praying for them is our business.
Can I have a few more minutes? I know we've been here since Thursday. I understand that. Just stay with me. Stay with me. Don't you get it? Jesus came to demonstrate the superiority of the kingdom of God. Now I know this is not the great revelation level you're at. This is really small, but maybe it'll help you. You can't give anybody something you don't have. I cannot give you the title to Brother Barnum's car. I don't own it. I can't give you the keys to Brother Wolf's car. I don't have it. Are you ready? Whoever told you God gave you cancer? I'd like to meet the first person who ever got praying in the Holy Ghost and blessed in the Spirit of God. And when you came out of the presence of God, you said, man, I feel like raping somebody right now. Man, I'm so inspired. I'm going to shoot 3 people and kill my neighbor's dog. Man, getting in that presence of God stuff just turns me on. Now, you know how facetious and stupid and ignorant that is. When you come out of the presence of God, you feel faith and joy and courage and strength. You just feel like you can just do anything, correct? Well, then, how could God give you diabetes? He ain't got any. Wait a minute. See, I kind of travel all over the world. You know, I have Pentecostal faces all the time. Well, you know, I'm just suffering for the Lord. I said, man, shut up, stupid. What do you mean you're suffering for the Lord? Are you ignorant? God gave you diabetes so you could glorify Him? If I gave my child diabetes, I would get arrested for child abuse. If I made my kid blind or deaf, I stuck an ice pick in his ear to say, I want to show you how much I love you. Now, just believe that I love... In fact, you mean you as a parent would give your child muscular dystrophy and polio and scoliosis so you can prove to them how much you love them? Are you crazy? Would you rather give your child a bicycle or a tricycle or a pair of skates than a pair of crutches? If we, being evil, would give good things to our children, how much more shall God give good things to His children? I'm not trying to hurt you, folks. I'm trying to slap you real hard. You know why? Because the trick of the adversary is simply this. If I can get them dumb Pentecostals to settle for less than has been provided, I don't care how they act. And if we don't pray for the sick, what an insult to the terrible scourging that Jesus received. He didn't need to get scourged to die on the cross. The cross would have killed him just fine. If you're not going to pray for the sick, then he got beat half to death in vain. Because we are healed by his stripes. We are forgiven by his blood on the cross. There are two different issues. Sit down. There are two different issues. God wants you well. God. God wants you to be a mobile eruption. So look at people who are hurting. Pray for them. Have you ever prayed for people that have died? Oh, I do that all the time. I was in the middle of preaching a sermon one Sunday night on the healing miracle power of God, and they called me from Shands and let me know the little baby he was praying for died. And the nincompoops that are in our assembly who don't believe any of this, they're called the Sadducees of Pentecost. See, we're always worried about the Pharisees. I'm worried about the Sadducees. You see, the Sadducees don't believe in the supernatural. They just believe in the Bible. See, to most people, God is just an inference. Just an idea. He's not a reality. Sadly, to most Pentecostals, he's no more real than to a pagan. He's just a deduction from information. But God wants to be real. He wants to manifest himself more than you hucking and bucking and carrying on.
That's right. Yes, he does.
No. Acts 1:3. He showed himself alive by many infallible proofs. I'm going to ask you something. What infallible proofs do you have? And don't give me that junk he forgave you. Because nobody can prove that. You're not getting it. Mark 2, let him through the roof. Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Who is this that says he can forgive sins? Only God can forgive. He perceiving their thoughts said, what is your problem? Whether is it easier to say thy sins be forgiven or arise, but that you might know that the Son of Man has authority on the earth, watch, to forgive sins. That you might know that what I say about spiritual thing is right, I'll validate the spiritual by the natural. Young man, get up and rise. Take up your bed and walk. And the natural validated the spiritual. Don't you see, Brother Varner, we do that all the time. When we preach the baptism of the Holy Ghost and people get the Holy Ghost talking in tongues, the natural event just validated the spiritual truth. Have you got anything you want to read for me? Have I put you anywhere? Well, come on, read it.
And Jesus went about all the cities and villages.
All the cities and villages.
Teaching in their synagogues.
Teaching in their synagogues.
Preaching the gospel of the kingdom.
No, not again.
Yeah.
Now what gospel is he preaching?
Yep. Of the kingdom.
Not Acts 2:38. What gospel is Jesus preaching?
All right.
Because there's only one eternal, everlasting gospel. What gospel is Jesus preaching? He's preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Watch, read. Go ahead.
And healing every sickness and every disease among the people.
I wonder what part of every you're struggling with.
Yeah.
Because Jesus, according to what you said in your book, he perfectly represented the Father.
Yep.
He was the absolute perfect manifestation of the everlasting God. To wit, God was in Christ. You've seen me, you've seen the Father. I am representing the Father. Perfect. Watch. And then he went and healed everybody.
Yep.
Right.
So what's the Father's will? Because I do always those things which please my Father. And then 14 times in 4 Gospels it said, and he healed them all.
Yep.
Now you're not hearing me. See what I'm having a problem with right now? A terrible disaster has happened in the last 2,000 years. 2,000 years ago, Jesus walked around and saw disease as an enemy. And he said, disease came from the devil and the fall of sin. And I'm going to turn it around and restore man back the way he was. And I'm going to command that kingdom to let go of his POWs. Everywhere Jesus went, he said, sickness is not from God. I don't care if you sit there and stare a hole in me. I'll never believe that. Sickness, you don't have anybody sick in Genesis 1 and 2 because there ain't no sin. You don't have anybody sickness in Revelation 21 and 22 because there ain't no sin. It's all a hell in between. Because when Adam committed sin, he left in two villains. Disease, which is the preview of death. Jesus came, went to the court of Pilate, got beat half to death, then went to Calvary for disease and for sin. You shouldn't have to deal with either one of them anymore. I need two more and I'll finish. Chapter 10, verse 1 and verse 7 and 8. I'm sorry to bore you, but I just came from overseas. And I preached a general conference in England. I have a problem with this because I don't have any gifts. Morton Buster, he's got all these gifts. Freddie Clark can read everybody's mail. Kleinness can do all that stuff. I don't have no gifts. I just believe God. And so I'm just saying, we got to have a restoration here. We don't need a revolt. No, we don't. We need a restoration. Of what the see, we are the generation that God is calling to rescue the book of Acts from being a history book. The book of Acts has got to become our pattern and our operator's manual, and we have to have that happening in our lives over and over again. Because unless you have the miraculous, you don't have anything to give lost people. How are you going
Jesus is alive just because you quote a scripture.
The Mormons quote them. Jehovah Witnesses quote them. Church of Christ quote them. They all quote them. God wants to show himself alive. He wants to step in here right now and just start throwing his weight around. Lily. Man, I sure liked them other guys when they were preaching. So did I. But now what are you going to do with? Because I was sitting over there with Brother Wolf. We had five people. And Kimberly, the girl from my church, was talking to all these people. Now don't get mad. Don't get mad. Just watch this. Because our theology has taken us captive, we are now inventing ministries that are anti-God. I'll show you one. The deaf ministry. I'm going to wait till that sinks a little bit. Now, we have a deaf ministry in our church. Why? Because we can't get them healed. Well, you look at it. Fine. I'll give you $5,000 if you give me one scripture where Jesus went around the villages and taught his disciples how to do the deaf ministry, isn't it? Just give me one.
That's right.
Now, he didn't do that. He said, here's what you do with the deaf. Be open.
Yep.
And they said, cool. And they went all through the book of Acts. And they were opening deaf people's ears. And they were unstopping things. And they were loosing things. And I'm sorry, Uncle Billy. I offended them. Because you people don't. You think I'm kidding you? I'm not no virgin voice up here. You ain't scaring me with nothing. You ain't got nothing I want. I pastor hundreds of people. They ain't got nothing I want either. I'm not afraid of none of you people. You taught me about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I thank you for it. Jesus' name baptism. I thank you for it. A life of modesty and righteousness and holiness and separation. I thank you for it. Couldn't we just take one more step? I'm not saying what we believe is wrong. It's right. It has brought us to this point. But we are at a position right now where God wants to reveal himself through the supernatural. Just a few minutes
and I'm done. Fair enough? Two headaches in 30 years. One bad leg or one back in 30 years. In the last 2.5 years, hundreds. Anybody know Arlen Molenpaw? Anybody know Brother Molenpaw? He came to our church and our conference 2.5 years ago. He's got prostate cancer. Went down to the great college there, the university in California. Anytime you go in prostate, anything over 4, you have a malignant cancer. He was tested 3 times, 6.5. He came to me because I kept talking, healing, miracles. That's all I talk about, healing, miracles. He said, Brother Arnold, you believe that stuff? Oh, no, I just made it up. Yeah, I believe it. You mean you believe Jesus heals right now? I said, well, does he save right now? Yeah, he believes. Well, I've got colon cancer and they prostate cancer, and they're going to do all this terrible surgery on me, and I don't want that. I said, did Jesus give that to you? He said, no, sir. I said, well, then let's get Jesus to take it away.
Right.
So we're on the campground. I just laid hands on him, prayed for him, real simple. See, that's the only difference. And I'm for emotion. I buck and snort with the best of. When it comes time to minister, I get it real slow. Because the gifts of the Spirit and the moving of the Holy Ghost very seldom operates when emotions are high. We think you need it high. Uh-uh. See, how nervous you're getting ready. I said, Lord, you didn't give this guy prostate cancer. I'm asking in Jesus' name, bind this thing, command it to come out of his body, recreate cells in his body, cause this cancer to leave. There's no cancer in the kingdom. Make it leave, in Jesus' name. I said, you'll be okay. 4 months later, he called me. I have it in. It's right here. He called me. He said, Brother Arnold, Brother Molenpaw. I said, how you doing, big man? He said, well, I got a, as you would say, a fat bones report. I said, let's hear it. He said, I went back. Is it Stanford? What's the university? Stanford? He went out there. He said, I went to see my doctor. He's got me scheduled for surgery. He said, I want another test. He said, you don't need another test. I've taken 3 tests already. He said, I had prayer. I want another test. He said, you had what? He said, I had a preacher friend of mine pray for me, and I believe God's healed me. The guy starts cursing. Oh, the practice of medicine. Just starts cursing and curse. I'm glad at least one time in their life they say what's right. They call it the practice. You never get no practice from Jesus. He don't say, well, I'm going to see if I can get this one right. He gets everyone right. He gets everyone right. He ain't practicing nothing. I'm going to go a little further. You ain't going to find God one time say, oh, this is a tough one. I'm going to really have to strain over this one. Not hardly. He opened his mouth and the universe came out. He opened his mouth and the galaxies flashed. He opened his mouth and the spirit world came together. You ain't going to put God in a strain. I don't care what your diagnosis is. I'm almost there. Sit down. I'm almost there. So he goes and gets the test. Comes back. Remember, 4 and above is cancer. He's 6.5. He comes back and says, well, there's something wrong with the machine. Said it's 2.0. That's normal. He said, you need a surgery anyway. He said, I ain't letting you cut me in for something. I ain't got no cancer. They sent him up to the other specialist place. And one of our pastors has got a doctor who is a cancer surgeon in that hospital. And he did it again. He called me and said, you're right, 2.0, he's cancer-free. I said, oh, no. Oh, no. Sounds like Jesus is alive. Oh, no. You say, Brother Arnold, do you have some folks that don't get healed? Lots of times. You know what I do? Next, next, next. Now, I'm not the healer. You're not the healer. But you need to pray in faith. You need to pray in expectation. So sit down. I got 5 minutes and I'm stopping. And I haven't even started this message. I'm not kidding. Listen, the devil's trying to steal something from you, Brother Welch. Here's what it is. He wants to steal from you the benefits that have been yours by Jesus Christ. Remember, at the brazen serpent, there was 2 benefits. Healing of a damage, snakes bite him, forgiveness of sins. And then he turns around, John 3:15, he said, as Moses lifted up the serpent, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. What? You mean this sacrifice would be do less than that sacrifice? That one took care of sickness and sin. This takes care of sickness and sin. Now watch. Watch. Oh, God, I got so many miracles to tell you about. I'm preaching for Brother Elliot in Manchester. And I'm preaching. And it was about as thrilling as this. I don't think it. Yeah, maybe as quiet as this. And I'm just talking about the miraculous. And the faith level is just like. That's fine. No problem. I don't need your faith. I don't need any of it. And while I'm talking about the miracles that God done, and people heal people, and blinded eyes being opened, and cancers disappearing, and in the middle of the service, there's a lady in the back, and she gets up, and she just comes walking to the front. And I thought, oh, Jesus, help me now. And I didn't know whether this old bag's got a devil in her or what's the matter with it. I don't really know. So I just look, because you can tell real fast if people's got a devil. All you got to do is check their eyes. Their eyes will reveal everything that's inside them. Don't be afraid of devils. She walks up to me and I said, come here, let me look at you. And she looked at me and she's bawling her eyes out. And I said, what's the matter with you, Lucille? She said, Brother Arnold, you've been preaching about miracles and healing and I'm hurting so. She was kind of standing like this. I'm hurting so bad. I hurt my back and I hurt my shoulder and I can't take the pain anymore. Would you pray for me? I said, do you believe Jesus wants to make you well? I do. I said, where you heard it? Well, she turned back on the top of her fanny, her backside, and I said, well, I ain't going there. And I said, is your husband here? And he said, yes, he's right back. I said, come here, Flash. I said, have you got the Holy Ghost? Yes, I do. I said, put your hand on the spot where your wife is hurting and speak to that thing in the name of Jesus, by the authority of the Word of God, command that thing to be straightened. If the vertebrae are crooked, command them to go straight. If the muscles are in spasm, cause them to be released. Here's what he does, typical Pentecostal. Oh, Jesus! I go, hey, hey! What's the matter with you? You think hell and disease is impressed with how loud you get, stupid? I said, stop! I said, talk to it. You only yell because you're not sure. Talk to it. And the Lord will take care of it right now. He says, in Jesus' name, make this thing fit, make these things. And he says, make all that stuff that Brother Arnold said that's supposed to get fixed, make it just happen. So I stopped. And I said, that's enough. And I said, well, Lucille, how we doing? Are you any? Now listen, I said, this is not TV. This is not Benny Hinn. You don't have to lie. This is the truth. Are you ready? Are you any better? Are you a lot better? Are you all better? She stands there and goes, ooh. I said, well, let's try it again. Are you a little better? Are you any better? Are you all better? Ooh. I said, three strikes, you're out. We're going to do one more time. Are you any? I got to any better. And she goes, ah! And starts jumping up and down. And now all of a sudden everybody believes me. Sit down. Just give me just a... I waited 4 hours, okay? All of a sudden people's faith level comes up. Whoa, my God. God's in the house now. This lady walks up to me. She goes, Brother Arnold, would you pray for me? Would you pray for me? See, they think it's magic. We got to get rid of that stinking spirit. It ain't magic. It's faith in God. It's expectation that gives birth to the miraculous. She walks up to me, Brother Pugh, and she's looking at me right here. Her husband's next to her. And I said, what's the matter? And I said, oh, I know what's wrong with you. She's looking at me like this. She said, I've got these terrible migraine headaches. I said, I could tell you why. I said, your next turn crossways. I said, chiropractor probably snap it for you. Cost you $40. I'll do it for free. I said, do you believe that Jesus wants you better? She said, yes, I do. I said, do not be afraid. I am not going to snap your neck. I'm not going to hurt you. You got to tell them because they go... So just lean your neck to the side, Brother Pugh. Either way, just like it. She's just like this. And I go, Jesus, in your name, loosen these vertebrae, open these muscles, stop the pain. And while I'm talking to her, her head goes. And she goes, my God, it's gone. It's gone. I said, of course it's gone. Your neck is straight. Of course it's gone. Now, you're not hearing me. I am having more fun in the Pentecostal movement than I've had in 33 years. You know why? It's working. Hold it. Sit down. Sit down. I'm not finished yet. I was just in Germany preaching a general conference with Brother Haney. 1,500 people. Preached first night, second night. I could have been elected president. I get ready to preach, go into the service the third night. Brother Davis, this little 10-year-old girl, big brown eyes, beautiful, stops me in the foyer and says, Brother Arnold, would you pray for me? Would you pray for me? I said, well, sure, baby. What's the matter? She said, I got sick last year and I got my eardrum, ate my eardrum and I lost my hearing and I'm totally deaf in my left ear. And doctor says, I'll never hear. And when I heard her, I felt the gift of faith come on me. It's not always on me. It just came on me. And it was just like, I can take care of this. This is a piece of cake. I wasn't intimidated. I wasn't afraid. I said, I'll pray for you at the end of the service. I get ready to preach. Man, I'm preaching 20 minutes till my sweat's running down. My socks are running down. I can't get to first base. Finally, the Holy Ghost says, the little girl. Get the little girl up here. I took my Bible and threw it up on the platform. I said, folks, I'm wasting a good sermon on you. You ain't hearing a stinking thing I'm preaching. I said, let me tell you about some miracles I've had. I started telling them, faith rises up. I said, where's the little girl that wanted me to pray for? 1,500 people. She's in the back. I said, come here, sweetheart. Then Brother Hemus' church in Liverpool. I said, come here. She walks up pretty as a picture, 10 years old. She stands up on the second step. I said, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to hurt you. I said, this girl, now people are going, woo,
yeah, woo. I said, this girl's totally deaf in her left ear. The minute I said that, the whole church went, hail. And I said, and furthermore, the Lord's going to open her ear right now. The minute I said that, this whole church is going. I mean, salamanders for Jesus, just crawfishing and all over the place. So I got the girl up there, Bishop, and I asked her, I said, now let's take a test. I said, can you hear me? She said, yes. I said, how many times? She said, three. I leaned over and said, can you hear me? She just stared at me. I said, how many times? She couldn't hear me. I said, do you believe Jesus made you deaf? No, sir. Do you believe if Jesus was standing right here, he would fix you if you asked him for mercy? Yes, sir. I said, watch this. I put my fingers in her ears and I said, now, Lord, I couldn't heal a headache on a dead frog. But you didn't make this girl deaf. So I ask you to loose this little child and open these eardrums in Jesus' name. Be open. I leaned over to her left ear. I wish we had this picture to hang at General Conference. I said, can you hear me? And the little girl went, ah! Oh my God! Oh my God! I said, what's the matter? My ear just popped open. I said, what were you expecting? These signs shall follow them that believe. Remain standing. Just stay with. I haven't finished. I haven't even got one. I got hundreds. Call Brother Haney. Call him. In 7 minutes, Brother Davis, in 7 minutes, people started lining up like we're going to line up right now. And I said, I'm not praying for nobody. I've already done my job. All you folks that are sick, got pain in your body, I lined them up. I said, I need some saints. You got the Holy Ghost? You got the Holy Ghost? Come here. I instructed them how to pray. In less than 7 minutes, Brother Haney will tell you, 5 deaf people instantly were healed. Their ears just went. Going to happen here right now. You watch. Brother Hemus's daughter is about 9 years old. She had both of her feet cut open. She had tumors in the bottom of her feet, so she was walking on her ankles. They cut them out, stitched her feet back, wrapped them in these special slippers, put her on crutches. She walks like this. She was crying. I said, baby, don't be afraid. Jesus is going to fix you right now. I prayed for her. Nothing happened. I walked to the end. Here was this lady standing here in slacks. And I said, well, Gertrude, what's going on with you? She says, oh, I'm so much bitter. I'm so much bitter. Thank you very much. I'm so much bitter. I said, well, how much bitter are you? Are you all bitter? Or are you just a little bit bitter? She said, oh, I have this horrible pain in my side. I have a growth in my side. And this sweet lady prayed for me, and I'm doing so much better. I said, yeah, but are you all better? Oh, no, I still have pain. And this little black Jamaican lady was there. I said, give me your hand. I slapped her hand on her side, and I started to pray for her. As I started praying, she went, ow! It is just wonderful. It is absolutely just wonderful. And I said, well, what's wonderful? She said, the pain is just gone. It's just wonderful. And I said, really? I come back to this side, and Brother Hemus is there, and he's clapping, and he's jumping, and he's clapping, and he's jumping. And he said, my God, man, isn't this great? I said, yeah. He said, oh, you don't know the half of it, man. Have you seen my daughter? Have you seen my daughter? I said, well, I prayed for her. Where is she? That's what I mean, man. When you went to pray for that lady, the power of God hit her. She threw down the crutches, kicked off the shoes, and she's running around the building. There's no telling what's fixing to happen. So, come on. There we go. Anybody in the house got pain? Anybody? I need you up here. Now, you got to give me about 2 feet because I'm going to put people in front of you. You got pain in your body? No, no, you can face me. You can face me. Hey, face me. You got pain? No. Hey, it's not TV. No lie. Lie. No lying. This is a bunch of baloney. That lying stuff. You got pain in your body, and you would know
that if in God's mercy he would touch you, you could tell that the pain was either diminished or completely gone. See, there's two ways you get healed. The gift of miracles is a recreative act by God. And it instantly happens and takes care of everything. But the gift of healing is not recreative. It is restorative. Just like being stuck with penicillin or medicine. And the gift of healing starts. That means if you have any area of your life that you're starting to feel less pain or less discomfort, that means God has started the healing process. And if you keep blessing God and worshiping God, it'll go away. You got me? You understand? I mean, I've had so many deaf ears healed. I don't know why there's all this deaf ear stuff. And had pain go out of body. Call, you got, you know, Hoffman, my buddy? He's my best friend in Pentecost. I taught 4 months every Friday night at his church. 3 Friday nights for an hour and a half. Healing, miracles, signs and wonders. Just call me. It's right here. I'll show it to you after the service. He asked me to pray for a little child who's autistic. 2 years old. The child tested at 2 months. Hoffman and I prayed for the little girl. See, here's what you got to get over, folks. Usually you don't feel nothing. And we're being held hostage to what we feel. You don't have to feel nothing. You just believe God. He just called me and said, you know that girl we prayed for? 2 years old, 2 months, autistic. They just tested her. She tested at 26 months. Don't tell me God can't fix brain cells. I'm saying this last thing, and then I'm finished, and we're going to pray for the sick. While I was doing my last healing service for him, they called from the hospital. We had a girl, had been there every month that I was there for 3 months, and the last month she was giving birth to a baby. She's in the hospital, and the baby dies inside her 2 weeks before. And it came time, the doctor said, "You baby's not coming down the birth canal. You're going to have to just push this baby. You got to." Furthermore, all the testing they did on the baby was totally mongoloid. She's only 21. Said, "It's the doctor said, it's the mercy of God that the baby died. You could have more children. You know, it's the mercy of God. And we have no heartbeat. We have no pulse. We have nothing. The baby's dead." While we're having service, we have prayer. I said, "God, this isn't what you want for this little kid. She's a brand new mommy." I go home Monday. Hoffman calls me when I get home Saturday and says, while they were delivering the dead baby, the baby went, "Aah!" And they went crazy in the maternity room, and the baby wasn't mongoloid. To him that believeth. Okay, all you folks are in pain. I want you to move back just about a foot, would you? Now I need about 20 of you so-called holy rollers, the ones that were shouting, the ones that were talking in tongues, the ones that were boogalooing. Come on, I need men and women up here right now. Come on, we're going to do this. Wait, hold it. I don't want all the preacher, pastors, you stay back here. The rest of you, you get up here. Now I want you to get, I want some saints up here. Come on, you got to start saying, "Who, me?" Yeah, you. Now, I'll show you. I'm not trying to be irreverent to God. I'm trying to tell you how much God wants to do this. You have not because you ask not. Expectation is the birthplace for the miraculous. Now, all of you that are in pain, would you raise one hand so I can see where you are? Okay, now keep your hand up. All you folks that are here, as politely as you can, if you can, I want you to interview the person. Don't go this, "Oh, Jesus!" That's so crazy. Jesus said, talk to the mountain, talk to the tree. Remember, he talked to a tree and it died. And you could do what he did. He said, "The works that I do shall you do and greater." Talk to the person. Find out where the pain is. What's going on. If it's permissible with you and possible, put your hand on it. If it's a guy and a lady and she's got a personal thing or on her backside or something, let her put her hand there. Speak to the pain and command the pain in Jesus' name to stop. And whatever is causing the pain to cease and desist. You understand me? And then you believe God, and you people that are getting prayed for believe God. Now look at me. If Jesus was here and you asked him to help you, you only got one or three answers. He would say, no, you don't have enough faith. Come back in 6 months. Two, no, you're learning so much about the love of God, I'm going to let your pancreas fall out in the street and some dog eat it. Three, well, sure, I'd be glad to help you. So whatever number you come up with, that's what's going to happen. Now, would you? Now you start in interviewing these people. Ask them what is wrong with them right now. Okay? Could you do that? Just as politely and kindly. I don't mean to mess up your conference here. Okay? When you find out what's wrong with them. You ready? Okay, now lift your hands up. And you believe that God is going to touch you right now. And you lay hands. Hey. Sister Barnum, could you pray for this young lady? Let me get out of the way. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, I take authority and dominion over every lying spirit, every power, every wickedness, every spirit of infirmity. I bind the powers of sickness and disease. I command in the name of Jesus that the stripes of Jesus would become effective for these people right now. Come on. It's happening. Here it is. It's happening. Pain, disappear. Vertebrae, straighten up. Muscle spasms, be loosed. Any kind of structural problems, I command you to line back up correctly and rightly. In the name of Jesus. Come on, you're fixing to feel the future. You're fixing to taste it. There'll be a day when every pain will be gone. But right now, you can still taste the future. You can still experience the virtue. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. Woo! I feel the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. 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 Now, if you possibly can do it, I want you to ask the people, are you any better? Just ask them. Are you any better? Is any pain left? Is all the pain left? If anybody's got all better, would you raise your hand? Uh-oh. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Is there anybody in the house that you're a little bit better? Raise your hand. Okay, come on. These people have got their hand up. Pray for them one more time. That means the gift of healing has already started. It's already started. It's already started. Jesus laid his hands on that man twice before he could see everybody whole and clear and right. If Jesus was praying for you or laying his hands on you or talking to you, you would be better. All you people praying, you've got Jesus inside of you. Release him. Release him.